أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا هل أدلكم على تجارة تنجيكم من عذاب أليم تؤمنون بالله ورسوله وتجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالكم وأنفسكم وقال في مقام آخر إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام ألا إن ألا إن سلعة الله الجنة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers and friends, if you have to look at a human being, we will come to this realization and we will find that when it comes to acquiring things of this world, material items of this world, whatever it may be, a car, a house, wealth, etc., that it is a natural instinct in human beings, in insan, that he becomes very eager to acquire that particular item. For instance, if a person really wants a car, he works hard for that car. Now, why does this person work so hard for that car? The reason is very simple. It's because he has understood the value of that car. He knows what value that car is bringing in his life and what benefit it is bringing in his life. That now, once I acquire this car, I will be able to travel easily from point A to point B. Or if it is a home, a person is working hard for that home. Day in, day out, he is going to work. He's opening his shop, etc. It is because this person has understood the value of that home. So we have understood this concept that when a person understands the value of something, then he will be able to overcome any type of hurdle or obstacle in his path in order to achieve and acquire that thing. Why? Because he has understood the value. On the contrary, when someone doesn't understand the value of something, for instance, a father passes away, but before passing away, he leaves with his child, a small child, he leaves with him a precious and priceless diamond. And now this someone who doesn't wish well for this child comes to this child and tells him, you know what, give me the small little diamond, and in exchange of the small little diamond, I will give you a whole basket full of toys, or a whole box full of chocolates. Now this child will be ready to part with this priceless diamond in exchange of this box full of chocolates or basket full of toys, whatever it may be, merely because he has understood the value of the chocolates and the toys, but he hasn't understood the value of the diamond. So when someone understands the value of something, he is ready to overcome any obstacle in his path to acquire it. But when he does not understand the value of something, he might even sacrifice something which is worth far more in exchange of something which is worth far less. To understand this concept even further, take another example. A person, obviously living in this world is a place of means. A person has to acquire some form of livelihood. It is necessary, whether he is working for someone or he opens his own shop. But for instance, a person opens his own shop. If you have to look at this person, you will notice that every day this person goes early in the morning. He leaves his family, his children. Every day, sometimes 7 days a week or 6 days a week, this person is going every day to his shop. And he comes home late at night. Sometimes he doesn't even come home for lunch. He sacrifices his meals. He sacrifices his family time, spending time with his children. Someone tells him, why don't you just take a break? Why don't you stay at home? It is obviously far more comfortable to stay at home and relax, spend time with your family, with your children. Someone tells him, even for 1 month, just stay at home. This person will not be prepared to do so. Why? Because he knows what he is getting at the end of the day or the end of the month. The value of that wealth and that profit that he is going to get at the end of the day has settled in his heart. He knows what he is getting. So this person will be ready to sacrifice so much so that he gains some type of profit. Why? Because he has the value of that profit in his mind. Respected brothers and friends, in a very similar manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majeed is inviting us to a business. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting us towards a business dealing. Any business transaction. And what is this business dealing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Majeed, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Oh, you, Allah is extending this business proposition to all the believers. Whether the person is rich or poor, no matter what background a person may come from, whether the person is a male or female, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extending this business proposition and this business dealing, young or old. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, hal adullukum, should I show you, ala tijaratin, a business. But respected brothers and friends, in this world when a person embarks on a business venture, or he does some business dealing with someone, he sells an item, and he gets what he gets in return. He gets some wealth, he gets profit. But what is the profit of this dealing and the exchange of this business dealing that we are doing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting us towards? تُنْجِيكُم مِّنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. By doing this business dealing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save us from the fire of Jahannam and enter us into Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the inhabitants of Jannah. In another verse of the Quran Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى. Undoubtedly, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purchased. Ishtara, the words purchased are used just as a person goes to a shop and he purchases something from that shop. He gives some money and he purchases that item. The words ishtara are used. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purchased مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, from the believers. What has he purchased? أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purchased their lives and their wealth. And what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving in exchange of purchasing our lives and our wealth? بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving Jannah in exchange of it. Further on in both these verses that were mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. وَذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. The one who embarks on this business dealing and business venture with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has attained true success. Respected brothers and friends, why is this business dealing going to give us this true success? And why is the person who embarks on this business venture the most successful person? It is because it is going to give us our goal in life, which is Jannah. We have been placed into this world for a purpose. The reason why we have been placed into this world was to acquire our Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Majeed, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ. That being, Allah is that being who has created the cycle of life and death. Why? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. To test you and see who can do the best actions and by means of which they will be entered into Jannah. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ. That the one who is saved from the fire of Jahannam and entered into Jannah, he is the successful person. So respected brothers and friends, we have been placed into this world. Obviously, we will have to do what is necessary in this world, acquiring a halal means of livelihood, etc., living with our families. These are necessary things in this world, but we should not forget our goal in life, that is Jannah. We have been placed into this world to acquire Jannah. Imagine just an example. It is not a complete example, but an example nonetheless. An example that relates to us. A person is playing a soccer match, a football match, and this person is taking this ball, and instead of taking it towards the goal which he is supposed to score in, which is in front of him, he is running right towards his right or towards his left. Worse than that, he is running with that ball towards his own goal. What will we say about this person? We'll say this person has forgotten his goal. He has lost sight of his goal. Respected brothers and friends, we have been placed into this world, we should introspect. That have we forgotten our goal in life, which is Jannah? Have we lost sight of our goal? Respected brothers and friends, just as we were explaining that example of a businessman, the progressive businessman is that person who always keeps his goal in mind. He's always looking at the profit that he is going to get at the end of the month. And he is always looking for ways of gaining more. And if anything is incurring a loss or causing him to run into a loss, he tries to eradicate it and remove it. Why? Because he's a progressive businessman. He has his eyes on his goal. Respected brothers and friends, in a very like manner, if we constantly keep our goal, which is Jannah, in mind, then it will be very easy for us to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will be very easy for us to follow the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because we have our eye on our goal. It will not be difficult for us to wake up for Fajr Salah and come to the masjid or to the Musalla and perform our Salah with Jama'ah. It will not be difficult for us to stay away from some haram contact on our phone or some haram thing on our phone. It will not be difficult for us to stay and abstain from some haram type of dealing. It will become very easy for us to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will do it happily. Why? Because our minds are on our goal in life. We have the value of the Jannah in our minds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that reality. And respected brothers and friends, because of this quality, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, time and again, if you open the books of Seerah, would turn the attention of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum away from this world towards Jannah, towards the Akhirah. And it was because of this quality that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum acquired in their minds. They were ready to sacrifice their entire lives and wealth for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And time and again in the Quran and Majeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us and turning our attention away from this world. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ The life of this world is but a life of deception. It is a short life. A person is going to live in this world for 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. And then a person is going to pass away. How many generations have come before us that we do not even know of? They had come into this world and they had passed away. We have come into this world and we are also going to pass away. But respected brothers and friends, the Akhirat, that is the permanent life. Jannah is an abode that will never end. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى The life of the hereafter is far better than the life of this world. There is no problems in that life. No difficulties in Jannah. Whether it be financial difficulties, a person will not have to worry. Or difficulties living with people around you, with one spouse, there will be no difficulties, no problems whatsoever. No health issues whatsoever. A person will be completely healthy, completely fit. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى And the best part is that Jannah and the Akhirat is everlasting. It will never come to an end. This world, no matter how much a person may have in this world, how wealthy a person may be, how healthy he may be, this world will definitely come to an end. But Jannah, respected brothers and friends, and the bounties of Jannah will never come to an end. So respected brothers and friends, to have this realization of Jannah in us, and the value, to develop the value of Jannah in us, like how we explained about the businessman who has the value of what he's getting of that profit, we have to constantly be thinking about Jannah. We have to constantly be speaking about Jannah. How often do we speak about Jannah? Speaking to our family, to our children. How often do we take out that time to speak to another Muslim about Jannah? If a person does not speak about it continuously or think about it continuously, the realization of it will leave the person's heart. Let us take out some time daily. Let's sit with our children. Open the books of Fadail Kitab, Ta'aleem, and explain to our children, read the ahadith of Jannah and explain to them the reality of this world, this life, and the reality of the everlasting of the Akhirah. But respected brothers and friends, as you were mentioning, because the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had this quality in them, it was very easy for them to obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and even sacrifice their entire lives and wealth for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the occasion of the Battle of Badr came, there was two Sahaba radiallahu anhuma, Sa'd bin Khaythama radiallahu anhuma. The son was Sa'd and the father was Khaythama. In fact, even the son of Sa'd was a Sahabi, Abdullah radiallahu anhu, was a little child. So three generations were Sahaba radiallahu anhum, all had been in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this father, Sa'd radiallahu anhu, it was the occasion of Badr. So Sa'd Khaythama radiallahu anhu, he tells his son Sa'd radiallahu anhu that, oh my son, why don't you stay behind in this expedition to look after the women folk, and I will go out in this expedition because I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant me martyrdom in this expedition. So Sa'd radiallahu anhu, on one hand, this is his father, but on the other hand, he is also very eager and desirous for Jannah. So he tells his father with utmost respect. And listen to the words that he tells his father. He says, oh my father, لَوْ كَانَ غَيْرَ الْجَنَّةِ لَآثَرْتُكَ بِهِ. Oh my father, had it been regarding any other matter besides Jannah, I would have given you preference. But oh my father, this is regarding Jannah. So they come to terms and they say, okay, well, fine, we will draw lots. And it so happened that the name of the son, Sa'd radiallahu anhu, comes out. And he goes out in the battle of Badr. And he is one of the very few Sahaba radiallahu anhum who attained martyrdom in this battle of Badr. Anyways, the time of Uhud comes. The battle of Uhud comes the next year. So Khaythama radiallahu anhu comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam before the battle. And he tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that, O Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, last night I had a dream in which I had seen my son Sa'd radiallahu anhu in a most excellent form. He was looking very handsome. He was looking very comfortable. And he was moving about in the bounties of Jannah. And he was extremely elated. And he had seen me and he had said that, oh my father, come and join us, because we have found what our Rabb had promised us to be true. So Khaythama radiallahu anhu wakes up from his sleep and he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he tells him this dream. And then he tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants me martyrdom in this battle, because I want to go and join my son in Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua for Khaythama radiallahu anhu. And Khaythama radiallahu anhu also goes out into this battle, and he is also martyred, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enters him into Jannah. But respected brothers and friends, let us take a lesson. These Sahaba radiallahu anhuma, look at their enthusiasm and the eagerness to enter Jannah. That the son, despite the amount of respect that he had for his father, because it was pertaining to Jannah, he could not give preference to his father just to enter Jannah before him. That is how eager the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were to sacrifice their lives for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? The same thing that we mentioned before, because they had Jannah in their minds. They had the value of Jannah. Respected brothers and friends, very quickly we will mention another incident. There was a Sahabi, Sayyidina Amr radiallahu an, Amr bin Jamuh radiallahu an. So he had a disability, and he was handicapped because he was limp on one leg. So this Sahabi radiallahu anhu, when the time of the Battle of Badr came, he really wished to go out and fight despite his disability. He really wished to go out and sacrifice his life. However, to his utter disappointment, his sons did not allow him to go out because of his disability, and they had asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had excused him because of his disability. Therefore, his sons did not allow him to go out. When the time of Uhud came, he was still quite saddened that he could not go out in the battle of Badr, and he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that on the occasion of Badr, my sons do not allow me to go out and fight in that battle. But O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even on this occasion, which is in the battle of Uhud, they are not allowing me to go out and fight. Inni uridu an ata'a bi'arajati hadhihi ila al-jannah. O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I hope that I will enter Jannah with this limp while I am limping. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, first tells the Sahabi Amr radiallahu anhum, that it is not necessary on you to fight. Jihad is not necessary on you because of your disability. And then he turns to his sons and tells him that why don't you let your father go out to fight in this battle? Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him martyrdom in this battle. So these sons, they relented and they allowed their father to go out. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu explains that in this battle he was worried about the Sahabi because of his disability. So he went out to look for the Sahabi Amr bin Jamuh radiallahu anhu. Not only did he find him fighting bravely in this battle, Umar radiallahu anhu says he found him fighting in the first line. A Sahabi who had a disability and he is in the first line fighting. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while this, it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will that this Sahabi was granted martyrdom. But respected brothers and friends, before the Sahabi went out in this battle, after he got permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to go out, his wife explains that while he was preparing his armor, his artillery, etc., the Sahabi, she heard him making a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma la taruddani ila ahli khaiban. Oh Allah, don't return me to my family as a failure. Anyways, after the Sahabi is martyred, his wife comes and she takes his body, and his brother-in-law was martyred as well, and her son as well. She takes their bodies and puts them on the camel to take them back to Madinah Munawwara. But when they are trying to take this camel back, these bodies are not moving. The camel is not moving. But when they take this camel towards Uhud, the camel moves in that direction. But when they move it towards Madinah Munawwara, it is not moving. This was because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only answered the dua of martyrdom for Sayyidina Amr radiallahu anhu, but he also answered that dua that he made, Allahumma la taruddani ila ahli, O Allah, don't return me back to my family. Respected brothers and friends, let us take lesson from the Sahabi radiallahu anhu. The Sahabi, despite him having a disability, he was ready to sacrifice his life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected brothers and friends, what excuse do we have in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What excuse do we have when the muazzin calls out the adhan for salah, to go for that salah? And again, respected brothers and friends, the lesson that we mentioned previously in the other incident, that look at the enthusiasm and the eagerness of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to acquire Jannah. They were ready to sacrifice anything just to acquire Jannah. Why? Because they had understood and they had the value of Jannah in their minds. Respected brothers and friends, if we also acquire and gain the value of Jannah and always constantly keep Jannah in our minds, it will become very easy for us to sacrifice our desires. It will become very easy for us to obey the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise us on the day of Qiyamah with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.